This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Kevin Hughley from Russia Falls joining us on the line. Hello, how are you?
I am great.
Kevin, did I actually get your last name right? Hughley? Is that right?
Yeah, that's it. I mean, it's a bizarre last name. I don't really get it. I think it was a French last name, and we brought it over. Somebody brought it to the States and, like, added a Y, and you know, it's been weird. I really don't know how to pronounce it. I'm still trying to figure out how to spell it sometimes.
Maybe you should try saying it in a French accent. Hughley, maybe?
Hughley? I don't know. Yeah, I'm not sure. It's not good for, like, a southern redneck from Alabama to try to do that, I don't think.
Kevin, Russia Falls, do you guys have a cool getting-together story? You know, some, like, form in high school, some meet at a coffee shop. What's your story with Russia Falls?
You know, we started the band in a weird sense because 5 years ago, just over 5 years ago, none of us knew each other.
Oh, really?
So it's been kind of a strange, random course of events. Well, random for us, I guess. Just a course of events of where, it started out with me. I did music in college, you know, and did the music scene and did traveled a little bit, but not much. And I was introduced to Wes, who was the first guy that jumped on board with me. He was in high school with my wife's little sister, so
wow.
I'd already finished with college, and he was just finishing with high school. And we hooked up, and then he got a random phone call from a guy who knew a drummer. We met Jamie, our drummer, that way, just through a random phone call. And then Jamie at that time was 15 years old. So you got a 15-year-old, and I was 23 at the time. So I was like, what am I getting myself into? And then Wes was visiting a church and saw this guy playing bass. And we had another bass player for a little bit, but he had to finish school. And so we asked Jacob to fill in on bass. I mean, it's honestly just a strange story of events that people just kind of been lined up in somebody else's design, not ours, that's for sure. It's just been really fun, you know. I mean, having such a variety of people, none of us grew up together, none of us from the same hometown, like nothing like that. It's just been kind of a five random friends that have become close as brothers, you know.
Mm.
So it's been a really, really cool experience.
You guys have been touring quite a bit since you've released your second album, Wonder of the World. Is that correct?
Yeah, and we have the privilege of kind of doing our own tour back earlier this year, and still promoting that album, the Wonder of the World album. But yeah, ever since our first single back like in 2007 when we started going full time at it, we were really privileged to be on tours with great bands. In fact, one of your Australian bands, the Newsboys. They took us out about a year ago, and
cool.
You've heard of the Newsboys, right?
Sure.
yeah, a couple of times. I always tease it. That's when Paul Coleman was with them at the time. If you guys remember Paul Coleman, he's kind of like that dirty uncle that you love hanging out with. You don't want to tell anybody though. I'm just teasing, but seriously, he really is.
He's very playful, though, isn't he, Paul?
Yeah, absolutely. So it was cool earlier this year that we kind of got to go out and take out artists that we like and artists like Jimmy Needham.
Who's a
phenomenal human being, great bluesy player, but also just one of the funniest people you'll ever meet. So just being able to take out, you know, artists that we enjoy and we like was just a cool experience for us.
And how have you been traveling around? Because I know on your website you were trying to raise money to get a bus. Have you got there yet? Have people been donating?
Yeah, well, I mean, I should make clarification. We're actually trying to raise money to buy a motorhome. we felt like the tour bus thing is great for, like, larger bands and stuff, but they're so out of our price range. Like, we don't even want to pretend that we're the guy. But we're really looking to get into just, like, a bigger motorhome. Our transmission on our little van that we've been driving around in, after 270,000 miles, has finally given up on us. So, I mean, we can't really complain about it. It's been a great little van for us, but we're at the stage where three of us are married, you know, and I'm sure that kids are on their way at some point. We just want to have something that is able that allows us to bring the families out. We call us the family of fools, you know. So, like, we always want the wives to come out as much as they can, and they all still work and stuff, but their jobs are really flexible and allow them to have times to come out with us. So we're trying to just get into a larger piece of transportation so that we can, you know, we can have that take place.
I don't know if you would agree with this, but every time I go on a road trip, especially in a bus or something like that, you know, usually songs come to mind and, you know, there's a big sing-along. Is there a song that you guys actually would sing along to?
Yeah, I think one game that we enjoy playing on the road is we have like iPod shuffle, and so instead of like one guy being the radio hog, we decided to have like the iPod shuffle where everybody gets to pick a song to play. But there's a catch to the game because you actually have to find a connection with the previous song in some sort of way.
Oh,
it's from the same genre of band. Like the better the connection, the more like, you know, the more cool points you get. And of course, the cool points for us, we need all those we can get because we're not very cool. But so so there's got to be like a connection. Like if we're singing a Beatles song from the Let It Be album, you may have another band that's called Let It Be. I'm just making this up, but yeah, I mean, you have to have some sort of connection to the previous song. And that's a fun way that we do with music, getting around the world. We're having our iPod shuffle game.
That is pretty cool. I think a lot of people will start adopting that in road trips. Very cool.
It's pretty awesome. It really is awesome, and it allows that there can't be a radio hog. You know, if you've got an auxiliary cable and 5 iPods, you can play this game.
Aside from your music, what's your genre of choice? What band would you want to put on your iPod and have a listen to?
Oh, well, you know, I mean, oh, man, that's tough. I grew up, my parents were pretty rock and roll folks, so I grew up listening a lot to the Beatles. I mean, that was probably the most listened to band growing up. In that whole genre of, you know, whether it's, you know, I mean, just this the 60s rock music of, you know, Bob Dylan, Johnny Cash, the Beatles, I listened to that a lot growing up. You know, now I've branched out. I grew up in the South, but my parents never listened to country music. And my wife is a huge country music fan, so I've gotten into Keith Urban a lot. Which, of course, come on, Keith Urban, you guys, that's a hometown hero for you, right?
He's pretty cool.
His new record is phenomenal. I mean, absolutely phenomenal. So I've got that on my iPod. I've gotten a new All American Rejects record on our iPod. I think that's one of the best mixed records in a long time. Mm. So yeah, but yeah, I got a secret crush on Keith Urban. I think, I mean, because
a man crush.
He's Australian who has this phenomenal accent for us. You know, it's like, oh, this is so cool. And then like he starts singing and he sounds like a redneck. It's amazing.
I love that. He had such a killer mullet in the early 90s. You should have seen it. It was bad. You know how cool his hair is now? It was so bad. So, so bad.
I bet it owned him, right? Like, he was just, I mean, he wore it out too, didn't he? He was just convinced it was awesome.
Probably. Everyone did back in the 80s. Do you guys have good band hair?
I don't, I mean, I guess I would have to say I don't know. I mean, probably yes. Simply, but the only reason I can answer yes is because people are always asking if they can take a picture of us so that they can get their hair cut the same.
Oh, you must have good band hair then.
Or the weirder people going, "Hey, can I touch your hair?" And I'm like, "No, that's weird. You know, like, why would you want to do that, strange person?"
Now, you said you guys have been together for 5 years, and I've heard that you've been described as Christian music's premier progressive worship music group. Oh, that's a bit of a mouthful. Would you say that the direction that you started off in, that's continued, or you've changed a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, well, first I would say I don't know who that guy was that came up with that. That is a mouthful to say. And I don't know that we ever would be. I don't think we would want to label ourselves that. We just want to be a great church worship band, you know? Like, I mean, we really enjoy writing songs that are hooky enough for people to get into and want to sing along to. But at the same time, we actually want to say something with our lyrics. Like, we don't want to sing like, "Hey, God's my girlfriend" songs. That just doesn't work for us. Mm. So our goal usually, typically what works well for us is like, we like to sing about how terrible we are and how good Jesus is. And that's like, we always go with the thought process of like, if we're a comic book, we want to make all of us the villains, like the bad guys, and we want to make Jesus the hero. That way, you know, the glory is in the right place.
Yeah, for sure. Lose It All has been a big hit from your album, Wonder of the World. Where does the inspiration for that song come from?
It actually came from the Philippians letter that Paul wrote a couple thousand years ago out of Philippians 3 in the Bible. You know, just the concept that Paul shares there is, you know, the fact that you know, he has gone through this life, and he kind of gives this reflection on the fact that he has done everything right. You know, like, he was born in the right tribe of Benjamin. He's of the people of Israel. He was circumcised on the eighth day, which was an important Jewish custom. Like, he had done all these incredible things. He was a Pharisee to the law. He was zealous before he was even saved. Like, he killed Christians. He was such a zealous person, right? So, like, he did all of these things right. And then he goes, but, you know, for the sake of knowing more of Christ, I count that stuff as rubbish. And we don't, I mean, the Greek lesson, honestly, like, the Greek there is much worse than the word rubbish. It's worse than garbage. It's like number two in the toilet, you know? And so I think the beautiful picture of this design there is like, you know what, in the sake of, for what people think about me, the Apostle Paul had the mindset that he wants to be willing to lose everything and lose all of that reputation, everything he's known for the sake of knowing more of Jesus. And so the inspiration of that song was like that. And I think we actually thought it would be a slow song at first. Mm. And then we were like, you know what? No, this needs to be this energetic anthem of going, I want to lose everything for you, God. Like, I want to be willing to lose everything for the sake of your glory. One funny anecdote to that song is the fact that last year, over the summertime, we were doing the Camp World, and we were leading worship for a lot of camps and stuff, and we sang that song, called it. The kids flipped out about it, you know, loved it. This was before the CD came out, you know. And so they loved the song. The next week, after one of these camps, we get our trailer and everything that we own stolen from us.
Wow.
And we're like, okay, God, about that song, lose it all. We're just kidding, you know. Like, can you give us our stuff back, please? You know, but it honestly put a test to us. We were like, wow, are we going to be willing to lose everything for the sake of doing what we're doing in ministry? And we had thousands and thousands of dollars worth of stuff taken, but God gave it back to us by his providence. So that was kind of a cool little story for us.
How do you guys keep grounded in your faith? So, you know, you're traveling so much and that kind of thing.
You know, one thing that's worked for us, we have a big belief and faith in the local church, and in our local church bodies back home. We have gone this crazy thought process to actually be home for church, for our own church on Sundays, which is pretty unheard of in the industry. And I'm not trying to pick on the other bands. It's just normally Sunday for our kind of work is a work day, you know. But for us, our booking agency is really respectful. And about two Sundays a month, about 50% of the month, we're home for our own church.
That's great.
You know, not all of us go to the same church. You know, we go to different churches and stuff, but we get to go with our families, and we're not going to, none of us lead worship on a normal basis at our own churches. So we get to go and just be us at church. And, we're in a community of faith believers that could care less if we're in Russiaville. You know, I mean, they love it and they're supportive, but they don't love us because of that, you know. And you know, we think our platform's weird because being on a stage and being in front of people, you know, you are constantly told how wonderful you are. But unfortunately, the Bible kind of tells us that's not true, that we're terrible, that we're sinful, and we need Jesus. And so we love the fact that we stay grounded in our local churches. And we really are focused on the fact that we know that if our ministry in our home churches and in our families suffer, then the whole ministry of what we do is going to suffer as well. So we just try to stay in our local churches. We think that's the best advice anyone could give.
Our station's called Hope. What gives you hope, Kevin?
Oh, man. You know, I mean, the obvious answer is the cross. I mean, that is for anyone who has a relationship with Christ, the hope is found in the gospel. And I think the encouragement is I don't have to have hope in Kevin Hughley. I don't have to have hope in Russia Fools. Mm. I don't have to have hope in Christian music. I don't have to have hope in Hope Radio. I have to have hope in the cross. And I think the root of the gospel is constantly reminding ourselves of how tragic we are and how much we stumble and how much we needed Jesus to come to the earth and come and live a life that none of us live. And he went to die a death that all of us should have died. And, you know, Martin Luther, the great reformer, calls that the great exchange. Like, on the cross, the exchange of sin and death and penalty became forgiveness through the blood of Jesus. And so that's really the root of my hope. But you know what? We as a band and as a ministry, find a lot of hope in hearing people's stories of how our, you know, to us, our petty little three-minute songs that we write about us impact other people. And there is so much hope we have in, like, continuing to do our ministry. We have hope and hearing people's stories of how God's used our little songs to do redemptive work in people's lives. We just think that's a cool thing to be a part of. And we love getting those, you know, we do our own MySpace and Facebook and all that, and we get messages from people all over the world about the impact, you know, our little songs have. And that's, man, that gives us hope to live another day.
Your full name?
Kevin Dwight Hughley.
Which song do you wish you wrote?
Yesterday by the Beatles.
If you could join any other musical group in the world, who would it be?
Descendant. Probably the Beatles, but they're not around anymore, so I've got to go with Brad Paisley or Keith Urban Band.
What are you most afraid of?
I'm probably most afraid of being convinced to get a tattoo because I hate pain and needles, and everybody in my band has one but me, so I don't want a tattoo.
Best way to relax?
Sitting on water somewhere, whether it's the beach or a lake or a river, being on the water. Love it.
Beef or chicken?
Chicken.
Summer or winter?
Summer. I'm from Alabama, so it's like 80 degrees at Christmas. love the hot weather.
Favorite pizza topping?
Oh, you know what? I'm not even a pizza fan, so I'm not even a good American, but if I had to pick one, I would go pepperoni.
What color are your bathroom towels?
And my wife needs to answer this question. I think they're just like a neutral tan color.
A lot of people going for that lately. Favorite day of the week?
Sundays. I love my church, so I love going to church on Sundays.
And what is one thing that intrigues you about Australia or Australians?
The Paul Coleman Trio. I'm just kidding. I'm perplexed that you guys are not just infatuated with kangaroos and the fact that they jump so high and are so strange looking.
And they're also feral, and we also have a problem with them, but that's all right.
Yeah, and they kill people. Like, people are killed by kangaroos, right?
They can be killed by kangaroos. Cars also can kill kangaroos, so, you know, it's kind of one up, one down.
Let's see who wins that battle then.
Indeed. Kevin, a huge thanks for you for joining us today from Rush of Fools. Will you be coming out to Australia anytime soon?
Aaron, as soon as somebody gives us the invite and we can figure out a way to afford the plane tickets, we're there. We are so there. It is probably on our top list of, like, it's our number one place that we want to see. We want to see those kangaroos ourselves.
And box one. Kevin, thanks so much, and you have a great day, and we can't wait to hear another album from you guys.
Oh, thanks, Aaron. Thank you so much. Thanks for the opportunity, too.
This has been a Hope 103.2 podcast. For helpful articles, station news, videos, devotional emails, and more podcasts, visit hope1032.com.au.